Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. It is to be noted that the natural characteristic of the gopis is to love the Supreme Lord. Their lusty desire is not to be compared to material lust. Nonetheless, because their desire sometimes appears to resemble material lust, the transcendental love for Krishna is sometimes described as lust. Purport. Thank you. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that material lust should never be attributed to Krishna, who is full of transcendental knowledge. Material lust cannot be engaged in the service of the Lord, for it is applicable to materialists, not to Krishna. Only prema or love of Godhead is applicable for the satisfaction of Krishna. Prema is full service rendered unto the Lord. The lusty affairs of the gopis actually constitute the topmost love of Godhead because the gopis never act for their own personal satisfaction. They are simply pleased by engaging other gopis in the service of the Lord. The gopis derive more transcendental pleasure from indirectly engaging other gopis in the service of Krishna than from engaging in His service themselves. That is the difference between material lust and love of Godhead. Lust applies to the material world and love of Godhead applies only to Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshyatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So first of all, before I start, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the exalted Vaishnavas present here. This Yadubara Prabhu, Prayojan Prabhu, this Manjuali Mataji, Tapanandini Mataji, Tapanandini Mataji, that's okay, I got that right. This Govinda Prabhu, Taruna Prabhu, this Premanava Prabhu, okay. And those are forgotten, and those who are online. Hare Krishna. So I can say something useful. In this verse, it is a continuation of a series of conversations between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. So Lord Chaitanya has been traveling in South India. He's been to a couple of places. Then he meets Ramananda Rai in a place called... What's the place called? If anyone's been following the classes. Yeah, Godavari River, by the banks of the Godavari River, in a place called Vidyanagar. He meets Ramananda Rai and he meets him on the bank of the river, and Ramananda Rai says, "Why don't you stay here for a while and we can talk, we can discuss philosophy." So Lord Chaitanya agrees to that, and every evening Ramananda Rai goes to visit Lord Chaitanya and have deeper discussions on Vaishnava theology and philosophy. So this is one such discussion, and on this occasion Lord Chaitanya has asked Ramananda Rai, "What is the ultimate goal of life?" And so Ramananda Rai has been going through different explanations of what he thinks is the ultimate goal of life, and Lord Chaitanya keeps saying, "That is correct, but tell me more." And then he says something else, and he says, "Well, that is also correct, but tell me more. And that is also correct, and tell me more." So the first question you might be thinking of, or you may not be, but I definitely thought about, was, well, why is he going through all these things? Why doesn't he just say the topmost? Because obviously he knows what the topmost goal is. So why doesn't he get to it straight away and just mention that instead of starting off with varnashram and other things? Any ideas? Why does he go through them? I mean, I don't know. He's not told me, but I'm just assuming. Why do you think he goes through these different stages? Govinda Prabhu?
Maybe it's like Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's telling everything to Arjuna just to remove him so that there's no other argument. Maybe that's
it. Okay, so there's no other argument. He's going through other things. Keshava Prabhu? Not to go straight to the topmost. Prayojana Prabhu.
I might be repeating what Kavinda said, but in Bhagavad Gita, he goes through the whole Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
I remember Gokaminda Swami was asked the same question.
Yeah.
He goes through all this, and he just says surrender.
Yeah.
But he said they have to, so that we can reach the conclusion.
Yeah. So Prayojan Prabhu is saying to avoid confusion, and so we go through all these things to avoid arguments, so we reach the conclusion in the end. So, thank you, Prayojan Prabhu. Anybody else? So I was thinking along the same. Yeah, Govinda Prabhu. Yes, Premanava Prabhu.
Yeah, when you finish this, go further. It's not that you say those things are not important.
Yeah. Yeah, they're important to get us to the highest. Govinda Prabhu.
And also, I think his answers were the highest. It's just that sometimes you can see, well, in one sense it's the highest, but in another sense it isn't. Like, how Sarva Dharma Pritchard are not the highest?
Yeah.
This is the highest.
Yeah.
So what's the highest?
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Govinda Prabhu. Yeah, so many answers here. We can have a whole debate on it. But I guess, I think all these answers are correct, of course. So Lord Chaitanya wants to... He wants to remove any arguments, he wants to go through everything, but at the same time he's also trying to tell us that we can't get to discussions of the topmost love of Godhead about the gopis straight away. We've got to take it step by step. Following varnashram, understanding basic principles in philosophy is also very, very important. Srila Prabhupada, when he gave classes, and there are Prabhupada disciples who can confirm, but from what I heard is in a lot of public lectures, he would always go through the discussion of body and soul. He would say, "You're not the body, you're the soul." Doesn't matter what the verse is. I listen to Prabhupada lectures. I haven't been listening to them so much nowadays, but I used to a lot before. Even if it's the nectar of devotion and is going through the deepest topic that is explained in there, Prabhupada would always start off with, you know, very, very basic. "You're not the body, you're the spirit soul." Because I don't think we can understand the highest conclusion of love unless we really, really get into the understanding that we're spiritual beings. And that is the first step. Without that, it's just not possible to understand love of the gopis. Because if you love Krishna, you would love everything and everybody and everything that is related to Krishna. And Prabhupada used to say, you know, that "love me, love my dog" kind of thing. You love somebody, you gotta love what they love. So Krishna is not just the person Krishna. Krishna is also all the living entities that come from Krishna. Krishna is also the planets that he's created. Krishna is everything. Okay? And sometimes we're not aware of so many things. We just think Krishna, Krishna. Now that is okay, but we also need to think about other things. And hence, in the Nectar of Devotion, it is explained that somebody who just worships the deity in the temple, but who does not respect other devotees or other living entities, he is a neophyte. Why? Because he sees Krishna only in the deity or in the person, but he doesn't see Krishna everywhere. So we need to learn to see Krishna everywhere, even in the most insignificant things, or at least even if you don't see Krishna, at least to acknowledge that all of these things are important and every living entity is important, even this planet is important, all these things. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but this week has been celebrated by UNESCO as known as Otter Awareness Week. Okay, so I hope you all been aware of otters. Okay, you know what otters are. They're those little things in the water. And I was watching a documentary on Disney Plus, which comes as a perk of having a lot of good friends who have money. So I do have a shared Disney Plus subscription. There's a documentary on there I was watching. And there's a lady who's an environmentalist and her father. And they work in the Florida area, okay? So they were doing their environment thing, and there's a lot of otters there. And they noticed that these otters, they live among sea kelp, which is like these forests under the ocean. But they were eating golf balls. Okay, so they would be playing with golf balls, eating them, and they were getting sick. And they tried to figure out what was going on. So they went underwater, and the whole seabed was covered with golf balls. So many that you couldn't see the sea floor. And they tracked the culprit. It wasn't so difficult. There was a golf course just by the beach. As, you know, golf courses by the beach are popular. So anybody who plays golf, you know, they miss the target, it goes into the ocean, and obviously it doesn't float, so it goes underwater, so nobody sees them until the otters found them. So then they started, father and daughter, they started picking out these golf balls from the ocean, filling them up in these huge nets, and they've been doing it for 5 years, and they picked out 50,000 golf balls, and they reckon there's another million there, all by Florida, by the golf course. So they started a campaign that we should be aware of otters and it should be recognized. So we have Otter Awareness Week. Yesterday was National Rhinoceros Day. Okay, so we need to be aware of rhinoceros because they're also getting extinct. I got friends who've been going on safaris in Africa, and there's all these different animals. And it's very interesting how Prabhupada explained that Krishna looks after all the living entities, and an elephant needs about 200 liters of water a day. And sometimes you see these elephants in the safari, and it's like a desert out there, but they find 200 liters of water somehow, and they need hundreds of kilos of food every day. A panda needs to keep eating grass all day because it doesn't digest 95% of what it eats, so it needs to keep eating all day, but it finds the food. So Krishna looks after everybody, and obviously the reason he looks after them is because everybody is dear to Krishna. Now, you may not be aware of otters and rhinoceros and giraffes, but the point is that everybody is a living entity, and they're all parts and parcels of Krishna. And even this planet is something Krishna has created for everybody. And you may be doing something you think it's just me, by myself, but everything you do also affects somebody else or everybody else. Even if you some little thing you're doing in your room, it's still affecting somebody else. And not just that, mainly it's affecting your character. Because if you do a lot of things in private, eventually they will reflect as part of your character. You'll end up doing it with people. Radhanath Maharaj once nicely defined, he said, integrity means what you're doing when no one's looking. Okay, what you're doing when no one's looking. You think, I'm okay in public, I'm a good guy, people like me, I'm nice to everybody, Vanchakalps Prabhus, you know, you offer obeisances. So everything's good in public, but when you go home, you know, what's happening at home? So we need to be aware, because everything you do when you're alone is building your character, and it's eventually going to reflect one way or another in your interaction with devotees, in your interaction with people at work, in your interaction with friends, in your interaction with the planet, in your interaction with other animals and other living entities, and how you see the world. So the idea is, if we're pure internally, then that is one of the first steps. We need to learn to develop good qualities before we can try and understand what the gopis' love for Krishna is. And we should start seeing everybody and everything, even if it is an insignificant otter. Okay, you don't have to start funding otters, or you don't have to start, you know, start a campaign to save otters or anything. But the point is that we should learn to see the soul in every living entity and understand that anything we do, even if it is throwing a plastic bag in the bin, is somehow affecting somebody somewhere. Or at least in the future, it's affecting the planet and future generations. So all this awareness is, you may think this has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, but yes, not directly, but it has a lot to do with our character and our integrity, and eventually that is somehow affecting somebody. So now, moving on from there, if we move further, I guess the point is that we should all try and develop certain qualities, because love, the word love that is spoken about here, comes with, it's a very loaded word, love, okay? I know it's only four letters, but it's a very loaded word. And it comes with a lot of qualities that are part of it, okay? And we should all try and develop these qualities as part of developing our love towards Krishna. So developing the right character and right qualities is very, very important. Now, in this material world, we use love in a very loose way. Anything is, you know, love, and people talk about love. Love's been the, what do you call, important. It's like one of the most important things. There is a reason that Lord Chaitanya is asking about the ultimate goal of life. And then it comes to prema, because the ultimate goal of life and love are very closely related, okay? Because you may have everything in the world, you may have reached your so-called goal, if you don't have love, okay, then you feel very lonely. You feel like, this ain't working for me, okay? You're not happy, you're not satisfied. At least love in this world, the way it's known as. Love has been a subject of many movies. In fact, it's the most popular genre of movies. In every movie, there has to be something about love. Songs mostly are about love. Okay, people's understanding of love. Dramas, Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare, you know, a lot of dramas are about love. People, you know, family, it's all about love. In fact, everybody's always looking for love. Yes, Prabhu, do you want to share something about love? You can use whatever term you want. Yeah. Yeah. C.S. Lewis describes four kinds of loves. I'm sure there's different understandings of love in this world, and everybody sees love differently. But I guess one of the most basic things, okay, before we get to the gopi sort of love that is being spoken about here, which I don't know much of. I guess you have to develop it to know it fully. And I'm not sure if it's possible to rationalize or logically explain it. But I guess one of the first things about love means it's not about you. Okay, the very first thing about love is that it is selfless. You have to stop thinking about yourself. The more you think about yourself, the further away you're going from love. That is a very interesting thing. People think, you know, I'm not satisfied, me, you know, do you love me? But the thing is, love means the less you think about yourself, the more you will experience it. Love means it's not about you. It's about somebody else and it's about everybody else, but not about you. That's the first thing. And I think people also understand this to some extent. Okay, people do understand this to some extent because everybody sort of wants to sacrifice their comfort for something bigger. Now, how big that something is, that is a question. Okay? For a lot of people, love means I will look after myself, that is okay. And sometimes it expands to I will look after my family. I will go through a great deal of discomfort and problems and trouble to look after my family. Okay? And you see this in a lot of movies as well. You know, you might see like a doomsday movie or like a zombie apocalypse or something, and everybody in the world's dying, but our hero of the movie is just trying to save the family. It never made sense to me. If it's a doomsday movie and everybody's going to die, you know, you're not really, you know, you're trying to protect your family, but, you know, I don't care about anybody else's family, but I need to protect my family, but in the end, everybody's going to die anyway, because it's a zombie movie, you know, like, so the love is expanded to not just me, but me and my family. And then sometimes this goes even further. So then the love expands and becomes a little more selfless to not just my family. I will not just sacrifice myself, I will also sacrifice my family for the sake of the country or for the sake of my human species, okay? Like our environmentalist friends who are trying to save the otters. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaura Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So save the country, save the planet, okay, and sacrifice the family. You see it in, there was a movie, I don't know if you saw it, Independence Day, long time ago, 20, 25 years ago. You know, aliens, I don't know why aliens always attack America first, and it's always the Americans who save everything. It's the rest of the world, it's like America's a hero, they have to save everything. Everything kind of happens in America if you see, like, you know, the great research, the zombies, the apocalypse, that, you know, the aliens, Prabhupada, everything seems to start in America. I don't know what's the deal, but could be movies made. Everything just happens in America, and America always saves the world. Let's see what happens in real life. But, you know, aliens attacking the world and they're like, okay, tell my family I love them. And then, you know, drive the plane into the alien spacecraft and you save the planet and sacrifice your family kind of thing. So it kind of expands a little bit from me. I'm not just thinking about me, I'm thinking about family. To, okay, family is one thing, but let's try and save the country, okay? Let's try and save the planet. It goes a little bit further when you're like fighting for a cause. So you're not really thinking about yourself, you're not thinking about family. You're not thinking about the whole planet. You're just fighting for a cause, okay? And you'll sacrifice everything for that cause. Like, what really impressed me, maybe it wasn't done in the right way, was, you know, a few months ago we were hearing about, you know, Insulate Britain, okay? And they were like gluing themselves to the road to kind of make their, you know, commitment to the cause clear. Okay, and it was nasty stuff. It was super glue. You know, they were using super glue. And then you stick your hands to the road and super glue doesn't come off. You know, if you ever tried it, you know, if you go a little bit on your finger, okay, you're stuck. Okay, so super glue doesn't come off. So, and then you stick themselves to the road and then it would take hours and hours for people to, you know, take their hands off the tarmac. And one guy I was reading yesterday, he even glued his face to the floor with super glue. That's not good, is it? But they got so much commitment to the cause, they would sacrifice themselves and everything they care about for the cause. So we do see that there is some sort of selflessness required if you want to experience some love. People know that. Just if it's just about yourself and me, my sense gratification, my senses, there's only so far it can go because you are just so small. You're just like these, you know, 70 kg blob of flesh and bones and blood. There's only so much you can experience with that. So it kind of gets frustrating after a while. So if you want to experience happiness beyond just the senses, you have to kind of go further. So people go family, country, cause, world, whatever it may be. So I guess this concept of selflessness in love is sort of like a natural thing, okay? And sometimes I think it's, for us as human being, it's always like a fight between lust, which is experiencing gratification for myself through my senses, and that happiness you get from selfless things. And people are always trying to balance that. No, I don't want to lose control. I still want to experience some sense gratification because it's important. But at the same time, I want to give and I want to think about more and experience something there as well. And so I want to give. And that selflessness is there. So both things are there. And as human beings, I think we're kind of a mix between lust and sort of selfless side of love. We wouldn't, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, even that just because you're selfless doesn't mean it's love, okay? Selflessness is a component of love, but that doesn't make it love, because love, prema, as it is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the object of love is always Krishna. It's never anybody else. It's always Krishna or Krishna's devotees, or the purpose of your relationship or love is something to do with Krishna. If that is a goal, then it's love, okay? But if it's somebody else for any other reason, even if it's selfless, it's not really love. It is selfless, but it's like, I would say, what would you say, like a semblance of love, like that all the qualities of love, but not towards Krishna, towards somebody else. And it is, it's still nice, it's still great, and it would be nice if we had more of that in the world. I had a story, can't remember if it was the 70s or the 80s, but there was a sculptor called David Wynne, and he got in touch, he was in contact with the Hare Krishna devotees, and he was very popular, so he had been reading the Bhagavad Gita, and when the new £2 coin was coming out, he was sent to make a cast of the Queen. And the Queen was sitting there, Queen Elizabeth II, and he was doing his thing, and she was sitting there for 2 hours, and he gave her a book to read, and it was the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And she read it for 2 hours, because you're sitting there, what do you do? And she read it for 2 hours, and she said nice things. I don't know what she said. I think something along the lines of, if everybody read this book, the world would be a much better place, or something like that, because it's such a good book. So Queen Elizabeth read the Bhagavad Gita for 2 hours. Yay. But I don't know. Last century. You only got 100 options you can start ticking them off. Probably 50, 20, maybe. So the idea is that love is directed only towards Krishna and other things. You can have qualities of love, but it's not really, really love till it's Krishna. But still developing the qualities is a good start. So can someone tell me what you think are the qualities that love comes with? So for love to be love, what do you think needs to be there? What different qualities need to be part of the love package? Affection, care, good. Affection and care is always part of it. Yes, Jason Prabhu?
Giving instead of taking.
What's that?
Giving instead of taking.
So selfless and giving. Okay. Anything else?
Sacrifice.
Okay, you need... What do you want to sacrifice? Like, you got to sacrifice something. You can't say, this is mine, this is yours. It's okay. If they want the whole thing, they can have it. If you got a cake... Okay, you cut a cake in half, but if they want the full cake, you'll give it to them, because you're sacrificing your half of the cake. Okay, good. Govinda Prabhu?
I would die for you.
I would die for you. Sacrifice your life. Sacrifice, well, not your life, you never die, but sacrifice your human form of life for somebody. Okay, good. Nishkinchana Prabhu?
Service.
Service, yes. Serve them, isn't it? Yeah, Prabhupada often said that. You know, you say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But when they ask you to do something, you say, nah, not doing that, but I love you. Okay, well, love means you've got to do something. Kishori?
I think also love someone you have to know them.
You have to know them. That's very good. You see it in real life also, that's the case, isn't it? If you want to love somebody, you have to know them. And Prabhupada often said, he often gave that example of John. He said, everybody says, you know, if you don't know who God is, how do you love God? And he gave the example, say there is John. Okay, if I don't know who John is, how do I love John? I still don't know who John is. But the idea is that knowledge is very, very important. So it's not just that you jump to the gopi love part. You have to go through the whole Bhagavad Gita. You might be thinking, what am I going to do with the knowledge of the three modes of material nature, or, you know, this, that, and the other. But I think all of this knowledge is important because it is Krishna's knowledge, and it helps you understand Krishna better and what he likes and what he expects of us. What else? What other things are qualities of love? Yes? Unconditional. So there's no conditions. Whatever bad things happen, you still love them. There's no conditions that I'll only love you if you look like this, or if you do this, or even if you don't do this for me, I'll still love you. Okay, unconditional. Peter Prabhu. Okay. Okay, sacrificing, investing time, Prabhu. You connect with them and you like their qualities. So you appreciate. And you, appreciate and Manjuali Mata. Respect, yes, very important. You got to respect them, right? Respect.
Honor their contribution, honor them as you know, their spark of divinity is there.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, the gateway in, but it has to be respect.
Respect and honor them, yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Tolerance. Yeah, tolerate. Yeah, you definitely need loads of that. in love, yeah. Tolerance. Keshav Prabhu?
Unmotivated, so you're expecting something in return.
Okay, unmotivated. Jason Prabhu?
Having no other.
Like only one single-pointed object of love, not loving anybody else. Yeah, that's very good. Very good. What do you think of hope? Hope. I think Rupa Goswami also talks about hope in the Nectar of Devotion, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that one should have that hope that Krishna will always protect and he's always there. You know, hope against hope. Okay, what about attraction? Attraction, it's also part of love, right? You need to be attracted to that person, and that's why Krishna is very beautiful for a reason. Okay, so we're all attracted to Krishna. There's a reason we dress and decorate Krishna so nicely, so people are attracted, isn't it? Attraction, dedication. Okay, what else? Yeah, respect, we got respect. Patient. You got to be patient. If you love somebody, you got to be patient with them. Things take time. And even with developing Krishna consciousness, I guess things take time. But I would say that what we have in the material world, we can try and develop all these qualities. And I guess if we have these qualities, that's very good. But ultimately, the object of love has to be Krishna, because only then it becomes prema. Okay? It doesn't have to be always lust. You may not be thinking about yourself. Okay, you may be thinking about the other person. And that's very nice. Now, What's happening here is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying that he's using the term lust for the gopis, because a lot of, if you look at the stories, that what's happening between Krishna and the gopis, it may look like normal things that are happening in this world, in, you know, American movies, okay, that kind of stuff. But I guess that's why he's saying, I'm using the term lust, because it looks like lust on an external level. But it's not really lust. It's actually pure love, because their only goal, their only intention is to please Krishna. And I think intent has also a lot to do with love. What is your intention behind whatever you're doing? even though it's not an external activity, it's an intent. And that is also very, very important. You have to try and please Krishna. That is the ultimate intent. Many years ago, I'm cutting a lot of my notes because we're running out of time. But many years ago, I read a book by Devamrita Maharaj. It was called Bhakti Bhava. Okay, very, very small book. And he talks about something very interesting. He says everything the gopis are doing, they're doing it to please Krishna. Okay, everything is for Krishna. So imagine this, you know, Vishal, and if this, you know, so many women, and they're all like fighting over you, okay, and they're all like fussing over you, and all they want is you, and they're fighting each other. And how does it make you feel? Okay, you don't have to answer that. I'll put you on the spot, but it feels good, no? It feels. No, it doesn't feel good. Not as a brahmachari, it wouldn't, but otherwise, it would feel good. So Maharaj explains in this book that, you know, what these gopis are doing, everything, okay? It may look like, you know, this gopi arguing with that gopi or da 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 da. It may look like, well, what's going on? This just looks so mundane. And that is why we shouldn't. Prabhupada cautioned us that don't get to these topics till you're at that level of spiritual understanding, otherwise it'll just seem like ordinary lust to you. You'll just bring it down to a normal level. But what we don't understand is that the intent behind every single thing that the gopis do is pleasing Krishna. And that's what makes it so special, and that's what makes it prema. Okay? Now, can you have all these qualities? Can you have all these selfless things? The question somebody may ask, what if I have all these same qualities but for somebody else in this world, say for my wife, say for another person, say for my friend? Do you think that's possible? What if somehow you just develop all these qualities and all these things towards the other person? I mean, completely selfless.
In the very first paragraph,
yeah. Yeah, no, devotees, yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for Krishna in that person. And for devotees, I guess the thing is when somebody practices devotional service, then they naturally develop Krishna's qualities. It's like Prabhupada says, you become godly. You don't become God, but you become godly because Krishna's qualities start manifesting within you. And because they are also servants of Krishna, they're trying to serve Krishna. So obviously there is some sort of love there. But say we're talking about something for, like, say, a family member or somebody in this world. Can you have all these qualities? Prayojan Prabhu first and then Prabhu. Yeah. 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 For those of you who didn't hear, Prayojan Prabhu is talking about a sort of explanation that was given, that somebody was saying that their God, do you believe in God? And he said, yes. And he said, my God is my wife. So they attribute all these feelings, emotions, services, all this love for your wife, for wife's pleasure. Okay. Prabhu, yes?
You know, like, and also wanted us to progress in our spiritual life. As we were maybe new devotees coming into the movement, it's understandable. Understand. All these things. naturally, I mean, Chaitanya Charitamrita is there. All the books are there. Everything is there. And also, the real reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here anyway was to feel the love that Sri Radharani has for Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to exemplify that love. I guess the point I was getting to was, we can, like, you know, like Prayojan Prabhu was explaining, that for some people, you know, they make the wife or husband or somebody else, like, all these selfless things, but towards that person, I guess nobody can reciprocate like Krishna can. And it may happen that you may be giving selflessly, da 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 da, but they may not have the same feelings towards you. They may not do the same things that you do to them in terms of service and other things. And I guess nobody really fits as a worthy sort of recipient of that love as much as Krishna does. And if you don't want to be frustrated, if you don't want to be, what do you call, If you don't want to be frustrated in your endeavors in love, then I guess Krishna is the most worthy recipient. So that is why prema, it described for Krishna. Plus at the same time, if you love Krishna, Krishna is the source of everybody and you love everybody else. So so that's why prema means it's all about your intent, it's all about all these qualities, it's about service, it's completely selfless. And even though in understanding about the gopis, it may look like it's lust, but don't go there. It's not, because their intent is completely pure and all they want to do is serve Krishna. And yes, we can have our selfless love and all these things for other devotees, and we should definitely do that. And one who loves Krishna can definitely have all those qualities for everybody else. Now, Lord Chaitanya came to do something very, very important. He took this manifestation of love to another level. He obviously wanted to explore it himself and experience what Radharani was saying, like Prabhu was explaining. But at the same time, he said that love manifests by giving it to others. So hence the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And the gopis also do this, as it's mentioned in this verse. They get pleasure by pushing other people towards Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya exemplified this by making other people devotees and helping them understand Krishna, and in that way pushing them towards Krishna through Harinam Sankirtan, whether it's through, you know, going out on the street, like, you know, Govinda Prabhu, Shiva Premano Prabhu goes as well, and you know, on the Harinam Sankirtan, some lot of devotees go on Sankirtan. So we're carrying on, it is distributing the love. I remember Andhra Prabhu used to say that Harinam Sankirtan is the manifestation of that love for the gopis in this material world. Lord Chaitanya, you know, it's like the manifestation of the Rasa Leela, but in the material world it doesn't manifest as Rasa Leela, it manifests as giving that love through Harinam Sankirtan, even teaching people about Krishna, bringing people to Krishna consciousness. So if you want to experience that love that the gopis feel for Krishna, the way to do this in this world is by being in Lord Chaitanya's movement and trying to give this Krishna consciousness to others through Harinam Sankirtan. That's why it's a Yuga Dharma. The reason it's a Yuga Dharma, what it means is that you can experience the highest ultimate goal of life by following that in this Yuga. And because the ultimate goal of life is this love of the gopis that they have, you can experience the same thing in this world by sharing Krishna consciousness through Harinam Sankirtan. You don't have to die and go back to the spiritual world and be a gopi to experience that love. You can experience it in this world through Harinam Sankirtan. That is the point that we're getting to. I will stop there because it's 8:35. Maybe if we have one or two questions or any comments we can take, otherwise we can go for prasadam. Jason Prabhu? The mics, it's kind of not working at the same time.
Yes. This is probably just my complete misunderstanding of how things are in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
But I was coming back to my point about the four types of love. So there's four Greek words for love. So there's storge, there's eros, there's philia, and there's agape. So agape is the highest kind of love. That is like charity, right? Or that's probably the equivalent word in English.
Yeah.
Philia is the love between friends. That's a higher form of love than eros, which is the love between a couple. And then there's storge, is kind of parent-child relationship, or sort of love based on familiarity.
Mm.
Now, so friendship is, so philia is considered a higher form of love than eros in the material world. So I'm guessing that maybe the spiritual world is kind of inverted or something. Is that, or can anybody cast any light on that?
Yeah, so I'm not an expert in Greek.
So my question is, why the gopi form of love, the highest form of love, as opposed to the relationship between the gopas? I guess that's my question.
Okay, so your question is, why is madhurya rasa the highest and not other rasas? That's your question, right? Now, there's two things. First of all, whatever you connect to the most, that's the highest for you. It's not like all the gopas there are, you know, all the coward boys are sitting there thinking, damn, I should have been a gopi, you know. It's like, because this is not the topmost. They're happy where they are. That's like the best for them, and that's the best place they could be. And that's the best for them. So it's not like a ladder you're trying to climb to get to the gopis' level of love. I think what Prabhupada said was, if you just practice Krishna consciousness, chant your rounds, follow the principles, and as your Krishna consciousness matures, whatever your sort of relationship with Krishna is will manifest in time. It will manifest, and it's not something we should worry about. I think what we should be worried about is how we can practice Krishna consciousness properly and share Krishna consciousness. It will come in time, I guess. Yeah, I don't know, Govinda Prabhu? Maybe Govinda Prabhu's got an answer.
I mean, when Rupa Goswami is describing it, he's adding this extra ingredient at each level. So you have attraction for Krishna, Shantaras. Then when you add service and more realization of Krishna's greatness, then that's Dasya. Then when you add Mamata, intimacy, becomes Sakya. Greed. Okay, well, there's greed in Raghunuga Bhakti, yeah. So anyway, then you add palya, which is protectiveness, that's the vatsalya, and then giving of the body is conjugal rasa. So that's how it's described. There's just extra dimensions added.
Yeah.
So that's one way to look at it.
So every yeah, thank you, Govinda Prabhu. I guess every rasa has something additional. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains that the gopas' love is greater than, you know, neutral or shantarasa, sakya. I guess it's better because the gopas think that Krishna is equal to them. In shantarasa, you think Krishna is higher than you, and so the attitude is of service, whereas the coward boy thinks Krishna is equal to me, that's why they're jumping on his back. And, you know, and vatsalya is an even higher because the mothers, the gopis, they see Krishna as somebody who is under their protection. So they think Krishna is lower than them and they need to protect. He is in need of my protection and I need to... So that love kind of manifests even more. And then with the gopis, it's they're offering everything to Krishna. That's why it's the highest. So every level that is explained contains all the qualities of the previous rasas, plus something more. And that's why the full manifestation of all those qualities happens in Madhurya Rasa. Premanava Prabhu, did you want to say something?
Oh. Spiritual
yeah.
Knowledge.
Yeah. Just 1 second.
Yeah, I mean, Uddhava wanted to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Just so he could be trampled over by the gopis, yeah. Lotus feet. So, yeah, it's not that that's any lesser. It's just lesser in rasa, in mellows.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah. Thank you.
And there is no love in this material world. It's all lust, really.
Yeah.
The only the closest thing to unconditional pure love in the material world is a love between mother and child.
Yeah.
And even that's still the mother still wants something in return. Everything else is lust because there's something in. You can't have a relationship in the material world unless there's some unless there's some reciprocation. So therefore, you always want something in return. Whereas with the gopis, it's not there.
Yeah.
They're willing to sacrifice their life and go to hell
for
Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah, so love can only be love if the object of affection is Krishna. Nothing else is love. Only prema is only for Krishna. In this material world, you can't... So charity is good. It's definitely selfless. No, so Jason Prabhu, so the point is that love is all of these things, okay? It's all the qualities we went through, that's that and more. Selflessness doesn't make everything love. Selflessness is a good thing, but selflessness is not the only qualification for love to be love. There's other things as well.
There's still going to be a desire. Even when you give something in charity, there's still going to be desire to give something. Why are you giving in charity?
Yeah.
Because you know it's dharmic. Right, even on the highest level.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you want everyone to know.
You want something.
But then you don't get a benefit.
Yeah.
Tell everyone. There's still something you want in return.
Because
you know you're doing something good, so therefore it's going to elevate you to a different, to a higher level.
Yeah, and just, yeah, but the thing is, see. No, but the point is that hypothetically, even if you say hypothetically, even if you had all these qualities of love, okay, for another person in the material world, it still wouldn't be love because by definition, prema means that your object is Krishna. So even if somehow or the other, hypothetically, you develop all these qualities for somebody else, which like Premanava Prabhu mentioned, is not possible because we always want something. But even if you do, by definition, love means Krishna is the object. It's just what it is. So you can't say prema for my wife, or you know, I love my wife because of love of Godhead, or you know, whatever. It's always, or I love this planet because for whatever reason. Prema is always, Krishna is the object. Yes, Prabhu, maybe last one and then we... Yeah.
So like, in other words, it's not just unconditional, they're like 100% completely, you know, 100%.
It's on now, I think it's on.
They're 100% like completely absorbed in every moment, every single day.
Yeah.
Bring Radha and Krishna together, and they perform different services to do that for Radha and Krishna. So that they're it's not just, it's like totally unconditional love that they have for Krishna. Just like that example of there was that one pastime when they went to Lord Shiva and they asked him for the dust because Krishna was sick, and he, in order for him to get better, he needed the dust from Vrindavan or from the feet of the Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
Or from, and they went to Lord Shiva and he wouldn't do it because he sees Krishna as his, you know, eternal master, like, you know, he sees him in that way, the same way that they see him in Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
You know, the same way that all the...
But so the gopis don't mind.
But then when they went to the gopis,
yeah,
finally, then immediately they gave without any hesitation.
Yeah.
That's the love that they have for Krishna. They'll do anything. They'll even give.
Yeah.
So that's on a whole different platform.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, everybody. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.